Welcome into What in God's Name. She's Shana Appel.
And he's Chris Owen. And today is July 24th. The Mueller testimony is taking place before the House of the Judiciary Committee. And it's a beautiful day outside. Chris, my partner, who's usually booted up here in the cold weather, is lower extremity in the buff, which is awesome. It's good to see you, Chris. Good to be back.
It's good to see you. In the buff means I'm wearing shorts.
Yes, right. In case anybody was wondering, I should have clarified that.
We're doing current events in culture from a theological and philosophical point of view. Our core values are be curious, go deep, and shed light. Shana, you mentioned the Mueller report and the Mueller testimony that's happening today. We're not going to talk too much about that. It's happening currently, but we did want to let people know that we're aware that it's going on. I'm not so sure. I mean, you can push back on that. I'm not so sure that there's a lot to be said about it.
Couple of things. One, and I was listening this morning and on my way over here. Yes, he is referring back to the report, and many of the people who are asking questions based on the report. And I think the testimony is necessary because the bulk of Americans have not read the report, which I personally found to be a little stunning and was sort of wondering what that was all about. I mean, are people just so sick of it all? They feel hopeless or helpless that just can't be compelled to read 700 pages of what may be one of the most important documents of a generation. You know, that's certainly a possibility, but, you know, based on what I was listening to today, I think they are getting a lot of information from the report out into the public realm, and that's important. More to come, Chris. We'll talk. I imagine when we come back in the fall, we'll talk more about it having happened, and we'll know whether or not it has produced a specific measurable result or whether it just disappears into the background noise that is so much of the political sphere these days.
Yeah, let's take a moment. I did want to just ask you why you think it's one of the most important documents.
Documents of a generation because, that's based on my belief that President Trump and this administration have done more to dismantle the roots of democracy than any other administration in the history of the United States of America. And what we have at least some potential to do in the context of these hearings is bind ourselves to the mast of some core values. So if we've had a president who's obstructed justice, if we've had a president who, if not directly colluded with Russia, certainly attempted to cover up Russia's interference with this election because it paid off for him, if we've got people lying to major justice bodies like the FBI, are we okay with that? Because if we put our fingers in our ears and close our eyes and la la, if we're unwilling to hear or see the evil, my fear is that it's sort of like a thread that's getting tugged and it's going to unravel the whole fabric. Though I have more faith in I think our democracy is stronger than that. I think there's further unraveling that could absolutely happen if people don't wake up and start paying attention.
So would it be fair to say that it's not the Mueller report per se that's so important, but the values and ideals that are being unraveled that document reveals or shows or highlights?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that statement.
So that's where I go with this, because if I hear you say the Mueller report is the most important document
one
of a generation,
one of the most
important documents of a generation, I scratch my head and go, eh. But if you contextualize that as being representative of certain values that are being questioned or eroded or somehow we've become so cynical as a society about, then I'm with you.
You know, it's interesting. What you're saying is helping me clarify my thoughts. It is almost like the Mueller report is a litmus test against which history will reflect how preciously we cared for or didn't our own democracy because of what it illuminates. So it's not easy to watch, and I get why a lot of people have shut it down. I mean, it's just painful, and the incredibly racist rhetoric coming out of the White House towards representatives of Congress, allegations that they hate America without substantiating that, cannot go unchallenged, or we will find ourselves in one of two places, I believe, and that is either A, back in a civil war right here in this country, or B, Stockholm, you know, we'll find ourselves in another Holocaust. That's terrifying.
Did you say Stockholm?
I did say Stockholm. I didn't mean Stockholm. Per se, not necessarily Stockholm, but Nazi Germany in the 40s, you know, like that we're going down a slippery slope here, and the kinds of behaviors that are being incited. I pulled up behind somebody the other day who had a sticker on their car that said, "Shift gears, not genders." And I just thought to myself, wow, we've really arrived in the place where people who have absolutely racist, homophobic, ugly reflections on human beings who they don't know feel absolutely free to just splash them all over the place. Yeah.
We are in an age where ideas are being contended.
And ugly's being given a stage, Chris. Ugly's getting a really big stage.
Yeah, I said that gently. A stronger way to say it is that we're in a fight. Mm. And maybe it's always been that way, Shana. I think of the longer view of history where certain ways of being, certain ways of framing society, it's contended. It's contended and...
Yeah.
And there's a fight to be had.
The ideals, the dreams, the values of this nation never having been realized will always be a reach. And it may be that it has always been fought about. But I think sometimes we say, well, but, you know, people have always fought about this stuff. It sort of, again, minimizes what's going on here. Yes, people have always fought about it. And we can't stop now because the thing we are trying to create is a thing that I still believe in and still believe has a tremendous amount of integrity and promise, even though we've never reached it. It's like, you know, when we covenant with one another, we set the bar high. You know, we know we're going to fail. We own it when we fail and try again. So I like that the bar is set high, but I do think people get comfortable. You know, I mean, last election, how many people didn't vote? I'm the first generation of woman in my own family of origin to be born with the right to vote. My mother was not born with the right to vote. So people take this pretty flippantly, like, well, it's just sort of always been. No, it is a great ideal. It is a difficult ideal. It is a confusing and confounding ideal, but one I think we really have to continually reach for.
And has to be contended generation to generation.
Generation to generation. Otherwise, we see how quickly and how fast it can unravel. Yeah. That's, I think, what we're seeing.
Yeah. I love the way this conversation is going, Shana, because I wanted to share with you some of my reflections about doing this show and some of the loves that I have personally that drive me to have this kind of conversation with you and then to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are things that I love.
Chris's top 10 list or?
It's I think six.
Oh, okay.
And there's six loves that I have. I love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what drives me to have this conversation and to share it is a love for who he is to me personally. And I don't expect our audience to share that, but that's part of who I am,
mm-hmm,
and drives me here. I love religions.
Yes.
Plural.
Yeah.
I love religions, plural. I love how human beings have tried to make sense of this amazing, amazing life, mm-hmm, that we share and creation, the mystery thereof. I love ideas.
Yes.
So I love the back and forth of ideas. I love having conversation. I love having conversation with you, and I love having conversation with our audience. That feeds me in the sense of I get to grow by being in conversation.
Absolutely.
And then the one thing that I haven't really articulated with you or our audience, and I've just been thinking about this over the last month, I love America.
Mm.
I love America. I love our ideals. And I've been reading, I wanted to share this with you in our audience. I've been reading Walt Whitman.
Oh, awesome.
Walt Whitman has, his poetry has this beautiful vision, and you can tell how deeply he felt it as the poet and the visionary. This beautiful vision of American brotherhood and sisterhood from sea to shining sea. I mean, that's, and so to do a theological podcast about current events and culture, for me, comes from all of these loves, including my love of America. And that, sometimes that's hard to articulate from a theological point of view, but Walt Whitman is really good at that because he talks about America having a soul.
Yes.
And democracy being founded on a love of this diversity. I mean, his poetry is just so full of the diversity of landscape, of vocation, people's different jobs. It's a beautiful vision. And Walt Whitman might be somebody we come back to
for as long as
I'm into Walt Whitman, which could be, you know, a couple of months or longer. But at any rate, those are my loves. And
those are wonderful. Those are wonderful loves.
Thank you. And so this, you know, we started with Mueller, and you talked about how important that report was, and I pushed back on that, and we got to the level of values. Mm-hmm. So that's how I made this connection.
Oh, it was a beautiful transition right into the love of love of country. And, you know, let me just say, I love your list. There's nothing on that list that I don't share with you, and maybe that's why a lot of this works. It would have been interesting. I wish you told me you were doing a list. I would have done a list, and we could have seen how close we come up. I think now is a time for people who love this country to stand up and claim it. I mean, it's so easy to just go, God, this is such a hot mess, and looking at everything that is wrong. I think it's time for us to begin again to sort of start to think about what is it that we want. Naming what's wrong is good. That's a part of the process. But naming what's wrong doesn't fix it. So when do we begin? You can't move towards the vision if you don't have the vision. And I think right now things are so difficult that it's easy to just, you know, sit down at the end of the night with a scotch and bemoan the state of whatever your adult beverage of choice is, and sort of bemoan the state of the nation. But that's not going to fix it. You know, fixing it is going to require people who have that vision of a world made fair with all her people one, a world made fair, so that America exists as a part of that larger world and exists in a way where we use our share of resources and not more. We do business in a free economy, but we do it responsibly. I mean, okay, now that all these corporations have more rights than you and I do, there's fairer ways to do this, but I think, again, you know, the love of country is something that right now absolutely has to be articulated by progressive people, and they have to reclaim that vision, because if we don't, we've already seen the people who are going to run off with it, and I don't want them defining the next quarter century, half century, or century of this. I don't want them defining the next 24 hours.
One of the things that Walt Whitman reminds me of is the importance of idealism. Some of the things that you've articulated, when you talk about having a vision, you can't just be against, but there needs to be something lifted up that we're going towards. And if I think of our culture, there has been a death of idealism. And I think that's part of the genius of, if I can just jump, part of the genius, part of the gift of religions to the conversation is to reacquaint the wider culture with ideals.
That's a two-edged sword.
As is so much.
I mean, I think there is a side of religion that encourages that, having faith in God, Allah, the spirit of life, that's not a divine being per se, but that cosmic something that's bigger than each of us individually. Having faith that speaks in and through each person individually, in those faith traditions, yes, there's going to be an encouragement for each person to tap into that. And Whitman, you know, Whitman absolutely believed that if I recall this correctly, that human beings were born with a soul, and that the purpose in life was to grow and expand that soul, which was infinite, which could grow infinitely. so that we could be the best people possible for God, for our country, for our families, and for ourselves.
So I missed, sorry, can you say again, I mentioned that religion can reconnect us with idealism, and you said that was a two-edged sword.
So that religion which honors the divinity within each and every person, I believe absolutely does have the potential to connect us with our ideals. There are also many branches of religion, many faiths, in which the believers or the followers are expected to yield that to an intermediary. People who want to follow Jesus are much more likely to, we might get some blowback from our listeners on this. This could be interesting. I would assert that people who are interested in following Jesus are much more likely to discover that the holy within, and people who are more inclined to worship Jesus, you know, the holy is someplace else.
Yeah, the point I was driving at is simpler, which is that American society, our culture is so focused on the here and the now to our detriment. And the vision, the idealism that we need is simply transcendent.
It's cathedral building. You start something you will never live to see finished. Yeah.
The sense that there is bigger than you.
Yes, 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 I would agree. And I think that there is something bigger than you is, I could make an argument that that is the cornerstone of America, period.
And we're not living
that
way.
And without that, there is no America. I mean, and it doesn't have to be God per se. It can be nation. It can be constitution. It can be, you know, that struggle for equality and justice and freedom. And but there has to be something bigger. There has to be something bigger than just us. And we're not living that
right
now.
And we have lost that.
Yeah.
We have lost that. So I'm liking the word transcendence, a sense of transcendence.
I'm liking that.
Because that encompasses religion, but it's more than religion.
Absolutely. I love it. Transcendence.
Transcendence.
And transcendentalism.
Yeah. Oh,
there we go.
There you go.
Wow, we wound that one all up again. Nice.
Be curious, Shana.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine the light.
Amen. This has been What in God's Name. We thank you all for tuning in again.
You can check us out on our website, whatingods.com, whatingods. Shana, great to see you.
Good to see you again, Chris.